Remember the story that kept John Cohen up all night about the Russian researcher who tried to create a human-ape hybrid? Well, writer Lawrence Gonzalez read that story too and used it as the jumping-off point for his new novel.
I had been thinking about this concept for many years, the idea of, you know, sooner or later it's going to become scientifically possible to cross an animal with a human. Well, it is now. Today it's possible.
Gonzalez's novel is called Lucy. It's the story of a primatologist named Jenny who discovers a mysterious 15-year-old orphan in the Congo jungle and the moral quandary that results.
It begins in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where she's a scientist studying the great apes known as bonobos, and a civil war breaks out, which happens in Congo with frightening frequency. And she's sort of caught in the middle of it and has to run. There is a fellow researcher who she doesn't really have much dealing with, who's a few miles away in the direction she needs to go, and she decides to go in that direction and give him help if she can. And when she gets there, his camp has already been attacked. He's dead, and this girl is there.
There's a moment in the story, and maybe you could read a little bit from that section, when Jenny has, along with bringing Lucy back from the Congo, has brought back the notebooks that Lucy's father kept. Would you read a little bit of that for us?
Certainly. In the period from the early 1900s through the 1920s, several European scientists attempted to create a human-ape hybrid. In Russia, biologists even organized the commission to oversee the job of making a human-ape baby. More recently, in the 1970s, J. Michael Bedford had shown that a human sperm could penetrate a female ape's ovum under laboratory conditions. Jenny thought it was an interesting concept, but the more rational part of her, the scientist, said no one would do that today because of all the ethical issues involved. Besides, no one would have a scientific reason to do it. Jenny dove back into the text with her mind racing. She skimmed until she found what she was looking for. In light of that, I raised up Lita, the genetically modified bonobo, to the age of maturity and began my first experiment March 3rd, 3 years ago, inseminating her with my own materials, using a mild sedative to keep her calm, and employing the conventional method of artificial insemination that has been proven effective in captive populations. Jenny heard herself groan out loud. The words swam on the page, and she was acutely aware of Lucy as the living, breathing child with whom she had just had breakfast. She wiped her eyes to clear them and read, "The process failed again and again, producing no results at all, until the summer before last when I inseminated her for the 9th time on June 16th and succeeded in producing a zygote. Lucy was born without incident, weighing 2.7 kilograms. Oh, God, Jenny said. Oh, no.
That, oh, God, oh, no, is the reaction I think most people have. But by this time, you know that the character Lucy is as much like our teenage daughters as anybody else could be.
What really worked for me to write this story was, first of all, you have to have a character who people really love, and Lucy's that character. She steals your heart. And the other thing is that the story really is a coming-of-age story about a teenager. And if you stripped away the reality of her genetic code and just looked at her as a girl, she's a teenager, and a lot of what she goes through is what a lot of teenagers go through, and she even says that in the book. So at its heart, this is a coming-of-age story with the added danger that Lucy is in because of who she is.
Yeah. Well, before we get to that, though, let's talk about the other half for a moment. You've spent quite a lot of time with bonobos. There is a bonobo population at the Milwaukee Zoo, and you became quite involved with them, I understand.
Yes. As soon as I discovered that it was there, I went up there and got to know the woman who takes care of them. And so I would just start going up there, and I would hang around in the forest in back of the cages and watch them and talk to them and get to know them. And a very funny thing happened while I was doing this. They had a bonobo who had lived in Mexico for most of his life, had belonged to someone in Mexico. And he hadn't been there that long when I was up there. And I realized that he was kind of a misfit. He didn't speak English. And nobody had thought of this. So I started speaking to him in Spanish one day, and his head just snapped around, and he looked at me with this look of recognition and came rushing over to basically, you know, hear some Spanish. And I hadn't been to the zoo in about 2 years. We went over there a couple of weeks ago, and as soon as I came up to the area, he ran over to the glass and pounded on the glass, and the whole time I was there, he sat right next to me as if, you know, remembering me. I'm sure he did remember me.
I can see why, then, it began to seem so natural to you that there could be a cross, a hybrid created from bonobos and humans.
Yes.
These were very real, forgive me, it's the wrong word, but people to you.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. If you spend a lot of time with bonobos, they come to seem very human, and the things they do are very human. I have a 7-year-old son, and at that time he was, I guess, 5-ish. If you watch a bonobo behave and you watch a 5-year-old behave, you start to have this very strange feeling of like, whoa, yeah, this is where we came from.
Right. But I guess the question that everybody asks, it's certainly asked in somewhat nasty ways by some of the characters in the books, is why would you do this? What is there about the possibility of a union between human and bonobo that makes it seem like a good idea?
Yeah, and I think anyone, any normal person or scientist would say, this is not a good idea, don't try it. Of course, it's a novel, so just like Mary Shelley's Dr. Frankenstein, you have to start with somebody who's a little bit off his rocker, which is Lucy's father. He had this concept of bonobos are going extinct, so he was somehow going to save some of their genetic material by incorporating it into a human. And he also had the idea that humans were destroying themselves and that somehow bonobo characteristics could help them to be better people. And so he was going to start a new race. Well, the guy was a bit nuts, let's face it. But, you know, that's just the premise for the story. The whole story is predicated on, okay, whatever his reason, he did it. She's here. Now what do you do?
Yeah.
Because that, in fact, is what could happen out there in the world right now with the technology we have. Some graduate student in China could do this. And there would be this person then. Now what do you do?
Lucy is as appealing as it's possible for anybody to be. And yet, when she comes clean and exposes her background to the world, there are people who almost immediately want to deny not only her humanity but her basic rights.
Right. And this leads to the huge moral ethical battle between people who say, well, you can see that she's human. You know, she talks, she sings, she quotes poetry. And other people who say, she can't possibly be human if she has these genes. You know, I think that's one of the real issues. In what I've done here, of course, is to take the Frankenstein monster and turn it on its head. Instead of a monster, you get somebody who's lovable. Now what?
Do you think that we really need to prepare for a real Lucy?
Well, I think we need to at least go as far as having the discussions about what it means. If it were possible to be sure of the outcome and get somebody perfectly normal and charming like Lucy, would we do it? And if we would do it, why would we do it? And then who would this person be to us? I think we at least have to understand what the principles are, the ethical and moral principles, because this stuff is becoming more and more possible every day.
Lawrence Gonzalez talking about his most recent novel, Lucy.